Well, good morning. This is Happy Thursday, Tom Moulton. I am your host for the Thursday show on The Morning Voice, a brand new show that's on 5 days a week from 7 to 9, featuring hosts that are connected to the community, and we learn much more about how the residents and the leaders are working together. So we got a busy, busy show today from 7 to 9, and we have a couple of people on the phone with us, and I'm going to say just a good morning to Tim Vimmerstedt, and Shelly, are you there as well? So do we have Shelly and Delise and Tim?
There we go. We got Tim and Delise on. Good morning.
Tim and Delise. Okay, Shelly hopefully will be joining us. Good morning, Tim, and good morning, Delise.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this morning?
I'm great. So before we get started with you, Delise, we're going to have a little bit of what's going on here over the next couple of weekends. And Tim, my co-host, is going to go ahead and share with us what are the top three upcoming festivals. Go ahead. Take it away, Timmy.
Well, Marana Parks and Rec celebrating 25 years of the Ironwood Forest. That's happening this weekend. This Saturday, I believe.
Okay, so let's go with the spring street fair. I think that's going to be really big too, isn't it?
No, the street fair is always a big hit. I'm gonna try to make it down there.
Okay, that's great.
Myself.
That's fantastic.
That's actually this weekend, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you have room in your Ford Flex for a wheelchair.
I'll let you guys talk about that offline. So, and there's another big one coming up there that's going on from March 25th to the 30th. Tim, that's a big one.
Let's see, which one is that? I've got a long list here.
That's the 10 West Impact Festival, Timmy.
That's right.
And that's going to be a really good one too, Tim, because it started off as an entrepreneur festival where folks that were starting up businesses had the ability to sit in front of some potential funders. And now it's turned into a really huge economic development and educational webinar with live. I'm sorry, it's not a webinar, it's live, and various venues throughout Tucson. A lot of them are in downtown Tucson.
Yeah, a lot of great speakers, a lot of great information that gets passed along during that event. I had the opportunity to attend it a few years back, and it was fascinating.
Yeah, it's we're going to hear a lot more about that if you go online. But we did have our Thursday show last week. Gave quite a bit of information on that, and you can find that on KVOI.com and in the streaming section. So, Timmy, you know, I want to talk. Just spend a few minutes before. You know, we hopefully Shelby will be on the phone with us, but there's things going on at the attractions as well. I think that we ought to certainly shout out and to wind down with wildlife at the Desert Museum. That's your old place. That was there,
yeah,
a wine festival?
Stomping ground.
Yeah, was the wine festival going on when you were there, or is that a new one?
No, we did a tequila festival once.
Okay,
but we didn't do a wine festival. Wish we had. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that goes on this Saturday, March 22nd, and then there's another one, and we have a brand new radio station. It's a nonprofit radio station that we are working with, kind of supporting some of their community programming. It's a community called KXCI. You probably heard of them, Tim. Wonderful community, locally owned. Actually, their offices are right down the street from where I am, and in a old historical building. And they have, it's called the KXCI Music Festival at the MSA Annex on Saturday, March 22nd as well. And it's called Baila El Pueblo. I hope, Delise, did I pronounce that right, Bailey? You're not Bailey. I mean, is it Baila El Pueblo? Did I pronounce that right, Delise?
The Pueblo de Maiz, is that the...
No, it's called Baila El Pueblo.
Baila
El Pueblo. We got to get that right.
El Pueblo.
All right. Thank you, Timmy. A desert music festival. We got to get that right. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And coming
and the folks
up,
over at KXCI are wonderful to work with.
Yes, we work with some wonderful people there as well. And now coming up real quickly in April is the Arizona International Film Festival. And then there's the Tucson Folk Festival that we'll be talking a little bit later on at the 8 o'clock hour with Jonathan Fram from Saka, but he's also very involved in the Tucson Folk Festival. And one of our members from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, the Tucson Sugar Skulls, will be having. Now they're playing in March, but they don't. Their opening game at the TCC is on April 12th. So, you know, there's a lot. Man, I have to tell you, there's so much information out there about all the festivals, especially the SAAA Visit widget that you can find on our website. And I'll give you the new one now. ExploreArizonaAttractions.com. You'll see a little widget pop up. Pop on that thing and you can read all about all the events, but there's also some very important sponsors that I wanted to mention too, because they're also really keeping their calendars up to date. And they're the host, and our show is hosted by that, by Visit Tucson and Felipe Garcia and Graham and Lee and the rest of the team out there. We want to thank you for all your support. Tucson Media.
Another amazing team to work with.
Absolutely. And Tucson Media Partners, that's the Arizona Daily Star, and This Is Tucson, and all of their digital publications. They're helping to send us all those events. One of our newest sponsors on the event calendar is Tucson Jazz Festival, Chris Dodge, great guy, lots of music that he puts together for the community in January. And of course, as I have to certainly give a quiet little plug for the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, who allow me to host this show every Thursday, along with Dr. Ackerley from the University of Arizona. So, hey, Matt, did Shelby ever get on the
Shelby
phone?
Shelby is on the phone. Yes,
she all right.
Is.
Well, Shelby, Delise, you're on standby, and we'll be back with you. But please listen in, because you know Shelby very well. Shelby was... I think she was probably some of that glue, well, along with Kate, that held Saka together back in its early days, and the transition into the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, and certainly the SAAA, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, worked very strongly with this organization. But Shelby and I were often on the phone. So, and you have a new job now, Shelby. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yes,
good
I
morning.
Work in the town of Marana now, in Parks and Rec.
Yes, and how did the Founders Day go?
Founders Day was fantastic this past Saturday. We had a pretty robust parade. We had beautiful weather. And then afterwards, we had our festival with the car show and a lot of vendors and food trucks. It was awesome.
That's fantastic. So we only have about 2 minutes to kind of get a lot in. And I'm glad we had you did get on the air with Dr. Ackerley last week, I hope.
I did last Thursday morning, just really briefly.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little more about what Marana Parks and Rec are doing.
We have a lot on our docket. If everyone doesn't know, just starting off really not in my wheelhouse, it's a different division, but we have a huge park It's called the MARC, the Marana Aquatics Recreation Center, that is going to be opening in May up in North Marana. It is a 50,000 square foot build that includes a recreation side of the building, and we have an aquatics facility. So it's pretty spectacular. We're going to be selling memberships soon. Keep an eye out at MaranaAZ.gov/recreation for everyone to be able to purchase day passes or annual memberships to varying degrees of how big your family is. It's pretty comprehensive. So we have that going on. And then on my side of things, as far as I plan the events for the town, we actually have our concert tonight. We have our concerts in the courtyard the third Thursday of the month in the spring and fall. So we have one tonight that's featuring the band One's All, who are excellent. They were at our Founders Day this past Saturday. And we also, it's a themed night, so our concerts have a theme, and tonight is Marana Dog Life Night. So we will be having dog vendors that are going to be tabling in the concert. People are encouraged to bring their dogs. They actually are encouraged to bring their dogs to all Marana events, which are dog-friendly. But this one is themed just specifically in celebration of our dog life up in Marana that we celebrate daily.
Now, Shelby, to find out more information, in case we get kicked off here for a break, how do we find out more information about this event and all the other events that you're doing?
You can easily check out MaranaEvents.com, and that's MaranaEvents, EVENTS.com.
Well, I want to have you back so we can spend a whole hour on this new format. Is interesting, and sometimes it goes very quick, and I appreciate your time and all of your service, and I miss not working with you. That was a great time period for me as I was taking over SAAA, and you were changing Saka into a Southern Arizona, and much success. And we have we're going to go to break, and thanks again for joining us, Shelby Shear, the Parks and Rec manager of events. So okay, so here we go to our first break, and we'll be right back. This is the Morning Voice, and we'll be right back with the lease, and we're going to talk all about Saka. Well, we're back, and this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, where we get to talk attractions and tourism and special events. And boy, we have one of the finest arts and cultural organization here that puts on many, many events. And good morning to Delee Shepherd, who is the Director of Marketing and Programs for the for Saka. We'll use the word Saka. Delee, is that okay? Because it's a mouthful to say.
Yes.
The whole. Yes. Often people get Saka and SAAA confused. I had the pleasure of working a little bit with Delee years ago, and I was on the board for, boy, I think for about 10 to 12 years or so. I was one of the oldest board members, literally, probably, in both tenure and in age. But what a great opportunity to be with some wonderful staff that Kate and put together. The executive director has really held this thing together through the bad days, or the good days, the bad days, and the very good days right now. And I think she's pretty much back up to full staff, and you guys are kicking butt with all these events going on. Tell us a little bit more about those.
Yeah, well, there is, you're so right. There have been so many iterations and so much growth for Saka, and thanks to amazing partners in the community, especially board members like yourself, Tom. It's great to be on with you and to know somebody who has had such great effect to the growth of the organization that now I get to be a part of and see and see the development that has happened through just the hard work and dedication that Kate has put into this organization and into the arts community here in Southern Arizona. And you know, now that's growing and that is expanding outside of just Southern Arizona, which is so, it's just so great to see that the arts are live and the arts are right now so important to us. And so to see that growth in Southern Arizona and now expanding into other areas of Arizona, there's a lot that's at at the helm right now, and a lot that's up upcoming and change that is to come. And so a lot of exciting stuff, Tom.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about that because on the board, there were many, many meetings about that. And, you know, if I recall correctly, the board was very encouraged with the relationships that your executive director, Kate, was creating throughout the state of Arizona and actually nationally, maybe even internationally, being on various boards, various arts boards. But how did you, Kate find you, and how's it been going? I mean, you were in and then you were gone a little bit, but then you were a contract worker, but we never really lost sight of you, did we?
Well, you know, Tom, you know, a lot of my career has been in hospitality. You and I connected years back when I was the marketing director at Hotel Congress.
And what a great historical property to work with, I tell you.
Yeah, it was really special. Most of my career has been in hospitality, and that's really helped to just create the sense of giving back, the sense of service. And so that for me has been really sort of a cornerstone of who I am. But now, you know, through that time while I was at Hotel Congress, Kate and I had worked together closely on a few different events, and I had always just admired her, and she's just such a strong female leader. And when there was an opportunity that was available at Saka, and I was in a space where I was able to sort of consider a big change in my career, we both just kind of fell together, and it happened in a really beautiful, fast, obvious space of, you know, where we wanted to work together, and this was finally our place where we could do that. But, you know, right now life has been so focused on leading and developing and amplifying the role of arts and culture and culinary excellence in our community. And so much of my background is really rooted in storytelling and connection. And I believe that the creativity has that power to transform spaces, bring people together, and celebrate the rich heritage that is here and alive in Southern Arizona. And
were you involved in the Agave Festival when you were there at Hotel Congress? Or was that something new that came after you?
No, yeah, that was it's truly one of the most special things that I've ever been a part of. It really, it gave me a sense of purpose in a way that, you know, who knew that I would fall so in love with agave spirits and the agave plants, but not too hard to do. But
well, I've been to agave and tequila festival, and the agave people, of course, stand up and say ours has more flavor than tequila. They're more sipping. And then, of course, the tequila people say, no, we got a lot of different kinds of tequila now with flavors. And, you know, all I can tell you is it's when people that are drinking agave and tequila, it is definitely a preferred drink, just like for many guys and gals that all they do is drink beer. But, yeah, we have such a rich culture of culinary festivals here. And I have to say, Saka with its margarita and all I call all the Taste of Tucson's signature events. Reed Park Zoo and some other organizations that are members of the FAAA have been very successful in engaging the culinary experience here. I think there's probably no better organization that helps the community and helps other nonprofits, because Saka often is partnering with other nonprofits in the community, aren't they?
Absolutely. That's, you know, there's a term that Kate uses often that I love and I always kind of fall back to, and it's radical collaboration. And, you know, the idea that one organization can do it all, can be, certainly can be done. I've seen it done. You know, I've worked in some very powerful organizations that are able to do that, but the sustainability of it then is in question. And so if you're able to find and collaborate with partners and figure out what it is that each of you does well, and then bring that to the table, it really helps to create some powerful events. And so the food festival that we have happening in May is a great one, with the Tucson International Mariachi Conference as an organization that we are working with. Yeah.
Well, we'll be right back to hear more about those events and how the arts are impacting both the Southern Arizona economy and the livelihood of Southern Arizona's best artists in our vibrant community. And I think that's a story just on its own, Dalee. So you are listening to The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back and hear more about Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance.
Hey, Matt Neely here. A reminder, The Morning Voice, we're having the meet and greet tonight, 5:30 to 7 o'clock. Bamboo View Restaurant, 7018 East Golf Links. It's at the southwest corner of Golf Links and Culp. See Dr. Ackerley, Ted Maxwell, Grant Kruger. We'll find out. Let's ask Tom right now if we'll see him tonight. Tom, we're going to see you tonight at the event.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm in Austin, Texas, right now, and we're visiting some of the attractions here, and then we're going to be heading over with the family to Galveston and visit the Moody Garden. So I try to keep up with what some of the other attractions are going and doing in Texas, since that's kind of where I got a lot of my background, working for Six Flags Houston and the Six Flags Fiesta Texas. So I wish you all well and have a great time. Alrighty. With my four co-hosts there. And of course, Dr. Ackerley will be on tomorrow from 7 to 9 and talking about, all the wonderful research that's going on at the University of Arizona, and just so much positive stuff is going on at the U of A. And Dr. Ackerley has been a longtime professor out there and in the School of Eller. So he's always got an interesting show. And again, that's The Morning Voice, starts at 7 o'clock. Now, on the phone is Dalee Shepherd, Director of Marketing and Programming for SACA. So we're so happy to have you on the staff, because there are so many events. I mean, I was during the break, Delise. Oh, by the way, good morning again. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, yeah, Tom.
It's when you can't see each other, it puts a little challenge, but I'm visualizing you, since it has been a while. But Hotel Congress is a you know a great location, and Todd, very supportive of the Tucson City of gastronomy and everything historical for sure over there at the Hotel Congress and the things to do. I do hope they bring back their walking tours again. I've been talking to the gang out there, and they're having, I don't know if they have the seance upstairs still or not, but certainly I think the historical tours were wonderful. There's a lot of stories to tell about.
So much story there.
And
so,
and you can get lost up there on the third floor. So you just stay away from the roof, though. I'm looking at you.
I don't know.
Before,
you know, it's like one of the coolest views in Tucson.
Absolutely.
Up there on that roof. So.
And they have gotten so much into jazz now with the club. And, you know, Chris Dodge from the Tucson Jazz Festival collaborates.
Yeah.
On a lot of that live jazz, and it's probably not unusual to see him getting on the piano and jamming with the guys out there as well. So you were talking about some of the festivals, but I don't want to get too much more in, because you do a lot of culinary festivals, and that seems to been a very strong niche for SACA.
It is, you know, it's what the people want. You know, there's just such a rich connection to the culinary arts here in Tucson, in a way that is not seen in other communities. And the amount of collaboration, the amount of sort of connectivity that happens between chefs and restaurants here, it's really special. And because of that, you know, it's just, it's, it gives people an opportunity to come together, to enjoy the great food, and knowingly that they're making an impact directly to nonprofit organizations that help to create and continue to foster these types of events, but also directly to the culinary communities too, and to these chefs, and which is an industry that has been impacted so deeply over the past few years, and to see it rising even through such hardship, and that it's making such a name for Tucson in a way that no other industry really has. We are noted across, you know, across the country, but even internationally, as a powerful place that has deep connection to not only a food, but to heritage and to the culture behind the food in our region.
Well, you know, certainly becoming the first Tucson City of Gastronomy certified by the Creative Cities Program of UNESCO. Just we're celebrating 10 years. I don't know if you knew that or not, Elise, but
I did. Yeah,
10 years of
Jonathan.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
yeah,
you know, that was started off with the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage area, and that before it got voted in by Congress, kind of morphed into a city of Tucson curated paper to become the first city of gastronomy in the United States. There are several throughout Europe and the rest of the world, but there was none here in the United States. And Jonathan Mabry, he was a head archaeologist for city of Tucson as well, and now is the executive director of TCOG, and along with a very active and creative board. I was the somewhere in the middle of creative and active. Sometimes the full time job at Pima County got in the way, but I have to tell you, the collaboration when the Tucson City of Gastronomy just kind of elevated, I think, all the things that SACA was already doing. But what I saw personally was how close the chefs became even more. There's that organization. Is it called the Gut? I can't remember. It's a group of chefs that are together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Gastronomic Union of Tucson. And that group they came up to. So one of the events that we do outside of Southern Arizona is the Devour event in Phoenix.
Yes.
We do that with the Botanical Gardens and Local First. And they were, the Gut Chefs came up to showcase for Tucson, and they swept the People's Choice Awards. You just don't see it in other communities. I mean, there were 8 chefs that were there from, they all work in different restaurants. They all have like their own world. And then to come up together in Phoenix and create these just a special and like totally, I mean, just like totally innovative dishes, and just to sweep the People's Choice Award. So it's that kind of stuff is what makes Tucson so special.
Well, yeah, we elevated, and I think our chefs are very unique here, and we got a chef's program where some of the chefs get to represent Tucson along with Visit Tucson. And so, you know, all of this is backed up by some great research. Now, during I was never on the TPAC board, Tucson. TPAC was an arts community organization. It was like a re-granting organization. They got money from Pima County and the city of Tucson and kept a lot of the smaller arts organization. That, of course, morphed now into another organization that continues to help especially the small arts community. Now, there was a huge research project. Over the years, there's been several research projects, but this one was a hell of a, if I can say that on radio, a collaborative effort. That's the only way I can say it, because it was where Kate and the board took advantage of all of the wonderful organization, got feedback, input, and whatever. And she, I don't think we don't have time to go into a lot of the details, but is that research project still on the SACA website? And if it is, how do they find it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you go to the SACA.org website, you can absolutely find information about that. But I would say, you know, what we found and what we knew going into that research is that, you know, the creative sector is not just an enrichment tool. It is a powerful economic driver. Yes. In Southern Arizona. And that's the big takeaway, you know, not just in job creation, but there's a ripple effect that happens. You know, people don't just go to concerts. People don't just go to art festivals. They then are dining. They then are doing shopping. So every dollar that gets spent in arts-related events, additional dollars are being spent in those communities. And it's amplifying the benefit of the arts sector being, like I said, it's a driving force. And it's just, yes. You know, like you can't, the arts, if we invest in the arts, it's directly an investment back into our economy, into our workforce. And
we're breaking here in just a minute, but I just wanted to share before we go on to the next segment, this new economic development organization of the old Trail, the Sun Corridor, and the Tucson Metro Arts is being formed, and they have a kickoff in May. And I hope, and I'm sure Kate's doing this, that to help them completely, fully understand the impact of the arts based on that credible research project that was really spearheaded by many people, but certainly your boss was really directly involved in that. Now, we'll be back with our next segment, and we're going to wrap it up. It goes really quick, doesn't it, Delise? And we're going to share some more thoughts. So this is the Morning Voice on KVOI, your trusted local news and voice. All righty, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host for the Morning Voice, and on the phone as well is co-host Tim Vermerstadt. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tommy.
So, in coming up in just a moment will be Jonathan Fram. He's also part of the SACA staff on the event.
Hey, looks like we might have lost Tom there. Tim, I think he was setting up a question for you about the SACA staff. Is there anything you wanted to talk about the Tucson Folk Festival?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, there you're back, Tom.
All right, good. Hi. So, Jonathan, are you there?
Jonathan is not on as yet. He'll be on at 8 o'clock.
Okay, great. All right, so we're almost there. So we're a little bit early. Jonathan will be here, and he'll be talking about the Tucson Folk Festival. But we got just a few minutes left with Delise Shepherd, who is the marketing, and she's also the program director for SACA. So we've been talking a lot about the events, the excitement, collaboration that you have with the culinary experience here, the fact that our chefs are second to none and they all work together. Mm-hmm. It's really something like the SAAA. We have all these competitors trying to get folks to come to their attraction. But you know what? Once a month we get together. Actually, they have a meeting today at 10 o'clock at our new partner, Tucson Media Partners, to learn what kind of media is being consumed out there. But I have, because there are so many different ways now to learn. There's so much clutter out there, isn't there, Delise?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to find out about events, which is great. You know, there's so many different pathways that people get their information. And so, though it can, you know, for those of us who are in event planning, you know, you have to kind of make sure that you're checking off all of those boxes. But it's nice. TUFON's really great about making sure that people are aware of the things that are happening. And there's so much growth right now at SOCA, and there's so many. Because of that, there are so many opportunities that are available right now for businesses, artists, and the community to really engage in the arts. And yeah, coming up this spring and summer, we are headlining and focusing on culinary events. So we have a new culinary event that we have coming up, the Sabores de Tucson. That is a Visit Tucson supported event. That, you know, in that new vein of Tucson having the best Mexican food in America, going to be an event where we showcase and highlight.
There's a great story behind that. And as you know, Visit Tucson is rebranding from their branding that's been around for probably almost a decade now. So Tucson, America's Mexican, best American best Mexican food. And there's nobody that has challenged it. So I guess we're clear to go.
Absolutely we are.
Authenticity. And, you know, and I can remember not that long ago, well, maybe 20 years ago, that almost a generation, that Tucson had, well, these wonderful South Tucson Mexican restaurants. But, you know, obviously El Charro has kind of taken that authenticity and rebranded many, many new brands, still keeping the same family, you know, service and flavors and carne, you know, and the founders of Chimichangas and all that kind with their Ray Flores Jr. is just doing a wonderful job, and Gary, their head chef out there. And I have to tell you, we are really spreading the news about Tucson food, and SOCA is doing a good job helping do that.
Yeah. You know, it's great to do it. And it's easy too. And that's what the people want. So there are three culinary events happening this spring and summer. We have the Sabores de Tucson, we have our World Margarita Championship, and then the Salsa Tequila and Taco Challenge that'll happen at the end of summer and August. And then we are also relaunching the Undercover Arts magazine. It's a resource for the creative economy that will reach statewide. And so that is right now active. You know, if you are a restaurant, if you are an artist, if you're a dancer, if you find yourself in the arts, this is a great opportunity for you to be included in this magazine, to have your profile in there. And for this magazine will be a great resource for businesses, cities, municipalities, for anyone to really find and access the artists that are here in Southern Arizona.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm really glad you brought that up because Kate knows my home number. So we only got about 20 seconds left, and I want to mention the catalyst, but I promise that we will lead with that with Jonathan, okay, because he's very engaged in that. But that is a great venue, great place to, go for an arts event, an arts activity.
Absolutely.
But Jonathan will talk more about that. I promise you and Kate that we will lead with that, because I've had some great meetings over at Catalyst, and Matt Rowland is doing a wonderful job out there as well as the deputy director under Kate. Shout out to all of the team, the staff. You work your rears off there, providing great service to a lot of the other nonprofit organizations, and of course to our culinary. And I want to thank you for your time this morning. There's never enough time to talk about all the things that SOCA does, but we'll be seeing you soon at some of the festivals. So thank you again for joining us. All right, take care.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you. Yes, have a good one.
You're welcome. Bye bye. Well, we're going to be back at the 8 o'clock hour with Jonathan Fram from the Tucson Folk Festival, but also part of Saka. This is the Morning Voice. This is Tom Moulton, and we're really glad you've enjoyed the first hour of our show. Now, we will be taking some calls on the second hour. So, Matt, let's lead out with that phone number, and we'll see you back here about 8:03.
790-2040.
Well, good morning, and I'm back for the second hour of the Morning Voice. I am your host every Thursday, along with co-host Tim Vimmerstedt. Good morning, Timmy.
Good morning, sir.
So glad you're back. And we also have on the phone Jonathan Fram, and from the Tucson Folk Festival. Jonathan, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you both. Glad to be here.
Fantastic. We'll be back with you in just a few moments, Jonathan. We got a little bit of business to do here, where we're promoting the top three festivals every hour on the hour from 7 to 9. And Timmy, go ahead and talk about these top three upcoming festivals.
Well, this weekend we've got the 4th Avenue Street Fair. Always a great time. The 21st through the 23rd. We also have the 10 West Impact Festival all around town, March 25th through the 30th. And a great way to find support for your organization, not just financially, but business-wise as well.
And yeah, you know who attended that, Tim? Mr. Ochoa Jr. And Jeff were the UA Entrepreneurs of the Year many years ago, and they took that certificate and that learning from the U of A, and probably turned that into, well, I know they turned that into a multi-million dollar gelato business located throughout Arizona. I don't know how this sounds on the radio, but I got to know them where at the end of each big party, they invited Steve Ochoa and I to lick the pans.
All right.
If you're a kid at heart and mom used to let you lick the pans after she developed the fudge cake, I think you all know what I'm talking about.
Lick the beaters while they were still plugged in.
Yeah, that was always difficult to maneuver around that. But, you know, thank you for that image, Tim. I appreciate that. So, now there's one more that, as you know, at the TCC, that if you're a brand new resident, or you just want to know what's going on in town to make your tourism experience the best it can be, you got to sneak over to this last festival or show that's on the list. What's the name of that show, Tom?
The Southern Arizona Home Show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. We have a discount going on just for 2 days on the Tucson Attractions Passport, which is your 100-plus attractions discount book that's available. We put one of these out.
I was the first president of the SAAA the year we came out with that.
That's right, 2003. I remember that well. Somebody said, we need to have a passport to the attractions, and the entertainment book is of no value anymore. And we were never into dry cleaning coupons or car washes anyway.
Right.
We produced with your help as in your leadership, the Tucson Attractions Passport. And we later, thanks to KLD, nicknamed it the Book of Fun. It was 25 attractions, Tim, when we started for $10. And now it's over 100 attractions for $29. So do the math, guys. There's a lot more value to that book. There's over 30 buy one, get one free. So the rest of them are buy one, get 50% off. There's a couple of different discounts in there, but you can save over $600. Books available online at explorearizonaattractions.com. Or you can come
I'm holding mine right now.
Yeah, well, you can come over to the home show and just for 2 days only and get that for $20. So you make your investment back in one visit to the attractions. As you know, everything has gotten more expensive. So anytime you can save some money, and this is the best way to save funds. So you can get it at a lot of the RV parks. You can get it at the Southern Arizona Heritage and Visitor Center downtown at the historic courthouse. Almost every DMO in Southern Arizona, Bisbee, Benson, Douglas. You can go to just many, many places where you can get one of these. But online, it's a lot easier. You can get a digital format, turn it on for 3-7, or turn it on for the year. Or you can get the book-a-thon, which is the original one, Tim, that you helped put together.
Yeah, it's kind of nice holding it in your hand. I know everybody now wants the app, but I'm old now, so I like I like holding the book and looking through it and seeing what I should be doing this weekend.
Well, there's a little bit of news, and before we get to you, Jonathan, is that do you remember the jingle that we did back with KOLD where the Book of Fun was introduced? Well, Otis from the fellow named Otis from the ad agency contacted me, and for nostalgia's sake, they are redoing a lot of the old radio and TV jingles, and they have chosen to help out to redo the Book of Fun jingle. And some of you may remember the video was a pop-up ad. So all of the various attractions would pop out of the Book of Fun. It was a fun,
right?
KLD ran the heck out of it, and we had our best year. I think it was in 2013, 2014, and we're working with some community leaders here to make sure that the new jingle represents our spirit here with folk and jazz music, and of course with the music that the mariachis bring to us during their mariachi festival. We have Jonathan Fram on the phone. And hey, Jonathan, we kind of got caught in some time issues and with the lease, and I did promise, you probably didn't hear this, that you would have just a few moments to share with us what Catalyst is all about there at Saka.
Yeah, most definitely. Again, thanks both of you for having me and then putting a hankering for a gelato in me at 8:11 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm
feeling hungry already. It's a little chilly out there for it, but still, I'm hankering for it. Catalyst. I Delise and I, besides passing ships in the night through TKMA and Saka, we are also both Saka coworkers, so I see her quite often here in Catalyst, Creative Collective in the Tucson Mall. It's a pretty impressive, massive space. It's 14,000 square feet. We occupied what was previously the Gap and Gap Kids in the Tucson Mall downstairs near Sears.
Sweet.
And it's just a super versatile space where we have all artists from all mediums, including musicians, culinary arts, as well as physical mediums. Even robotics, creatives, educators, and just other cross-sector organization leaders, they inhabit this space. So, we have something's going on here every single day. We have multiple rooms that folks can occupy. We work with BNI Platinum Performers. The business folks will get together a couple times a month and chat about their work as local business leaders. We work with the Southern Arizona Symphony Orchestra, and they rehearse in here a few times a week. Tucson Youth Music does music lessons, violin, piano, guitar from out of here a few times a week. And we also host special events all the time. We do the Desert Artisans Market, local artisan market in here once a month. I think it's the last third Saturday of the month, so that's coming up actually.
and just goes on and on. It's a very special place. Records, albums have been recorded here. It's really something else. I mean, even our restrooms have art installations in them.
I like that kitchen you put in there too. There's been a lot of good food that's come out of there, and teaching classes. Yeah. And we've had SAAA's had many meetings there, including they can stream the meeting for you, which is great. And you have the studio. Is that studio still working?
Yeah, it is.
So what kind of things can you do out of the studio?
So out of the studio in the music lab, we have two kind of concerted, recording spaces. So again, we have a drum kit available, and all of this is for rent. Anyone who's interested can chat with Kevin Larkin from our team, who's the Catalyst Space manager. But Kevin's a musical artist, and he recorded several tracks from out of here for his last record. There's been podcasts recorded out of here, different radio spots and television shows. So it's again just a very versatile space for music and digital production. We also have a computer available for graphic arts. Yeah,
and I like the way the team works together, and of course, your boss is an accomplished fiddle player, and I think a world kind of a champion world fiddler player. I don't know if he's going to join us today or not. He certainly was invited to join in, but I was trying to get him to play the fiddle. I think I'm going to try to revive that with KVOI. They have a nice little studio, and where you can patch in. And I think, some of the stuff that Howard Stern does, some of it, when he interviews, he gets sometimes the performers to, sing a song or something, acoustic. And I really was thinking that I didn't have enough time to put that together, but I think I'd love to maybe kind of incorporate that, especially if we're going to be with this new format from 7 to 9, put a little more entertainment into the show, as well as surrounded by, of course, the trusted voice and talk of KVOI. So we're going to be back. And Jonathan, we're going to lead a little bit with who you are, how you got involved, and then what we want to know is, what is folk music anyway? Because I noticed that you have a pretty broad definition, and we can't wait to hear about that. So this is The Morning Voice, and we're on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, and we'll be right back with Jonathan from the 40th anniversary of the Tucson Folk Festival. See you in a few minutes. Well, we're back with Jonathan Fram from the Tucson Folk Festival. Good morning again, Jonathan.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I'm on your website. And that's a pretty wacko poster. When you were telling or you're asking Fitz to do it, it's so good to see Fitz back. I mean, I have kind of lost touch with Fitz, but is this all brand new art?
It's all brand new art. Year we contract a different artist every year. This year was Fitz. I think there's nothing more Tucson to celebrate a 40th anniversary than with some Fitz art, and we're just happy.
You didn't even have to read the signature at the bottom of this art. So being a long time, 50 plus years in this attractions of business, I kind of remember the process of when you're giving direction to an artist. Okay, now, how was that, giving direction to Fitz?
So it was pretty amicable, honestly. It was mostly our board president Matt who worked with Fitz on this, as well as Tim Lipson, a previous board president who's pretty good friends with him. But from all I've heard, had a couple of passes around leading up into what we see here on the poster. But that initial idea with the big 40 and the those iconic animals that Fitz is so well known for.
You're absolutely right. I mean, what I see in this poster, correct me if I'm wrong, and also tell me what I missed. This is a learning experience for all of us this morning. So obviously, you got the message out that it's the 40th anniversary, and you depicted the craziness, a little whacked out kind of thing, and that kind of supports the current branding of Visit Tucson before we're a little bit out of there. I remember the presentation 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, and we're all sitting there at the Visit Tucson board, and you know, this very large contract to MMGY starts with the survey, and the surveys indicated, and the thing I only, there was a lot to remember, but is that people are telling that Tucson's a little bit out of there. And I was thinking of where I am right now with Austin, with Willie, because they were really out of it.
Yeah.
And but I'm not sure that's what he's depicting here, but whatever, to each his own. But it's pretty, I see happiness. I see a lot of fun. I see a lot of music. I see Tucson. It's just really done in the spirit of a Fitzsimmons cartoon character. And you know, what's amazing that, you know, a lot of you know, we talked a lot about the culinary experiences this morning with the lease, and that's very true. And I think food is always a component of every festival, wherever you are, what other, if it's not food focused, if not fucus, whatever that word is, focused, but this one seemed to be truly focused on live entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what else I like about that Fitz poster is it's also historic to us with the festival. I mean, we started with little jamborees like that, like what the animals were getting on down with, the bobcat on the upright bass and all that. We did that. We're called the organization that puts on the folk festival is the Tucson Kitchen Musicians Association, TKMA. And why are we called that? Because we started with the jams in each other's kitchens, like before turning into this organization. And the spirit of those initial parties, those initial folk jams, are still at the center of the festival. So yeah, even though it's grown exponentially over the many years, it is still very much live local music that is at the center of the fest. And that, I think that's what makes it unique in Tucson, and why I love it so much, and why our board loves it so much.
Well, you know, I before I came to Tucson to run Old Tucson back in 2001, I was in Southern California, and we had folk festivals, we had jazz festivals, we had bluegrass festivals, and I am not. Are you a musician?
I'll dabble, but I don't dare get out there.
Okay, well, but we know Matt is, and celebrated fiddler player, and you know, obviously, you know, and also ran Southern Arizona Amphitheater and another concert theater in Six Flags. You know, so it's very difficult for me to distinguish verbally the difference between a blues festival, a jazz festival, and a folk festival. And we are so lucky to have all three here. Yeah. I don't think we have, well, you know, we used to have a lot of country festivals at Keno Sports Complex, and some of those concerts are coming back to the Rito Racetrack. And Celtic over which we again used to call the racetrack, but they called Rito Downs, there was a Celtic festival. Zydeco, being from New Orleans, you know, Zydeco was just wonderful. It was in, you know, more bars than anything else. And Latin and Mexican styles of music, of course, is our culture and our roots with the mariachi festival in particular. But, you know, we used to have a Norteño festival. Remember that? That was wonderful, and that fell apart with a leadership change, if I remember right. Tano festivals, You know, I grew up during the, you know, Patsy Torres was a local San Antonio slash a Tucsonian, and she was wonderful. But there was this other star that kind of foreshadowed everybody, Selena, where, I mean, she brought Tejano music to, you know, to mainstream music. And, you know, I think you can't go wrong with having the Pima County Fairgrounds. Their fair is coming up on April 17th, and they always have some really strong Latino music there, and it's always probably one of the biggest draws. You know, Santana used to perform at the fairground, so those were the great days when we had 20,000-30,000. I think Metallica was the last one, but live music is so exciting, and I'm one of those frustrated human beings that never could learn to play a musical instrument. And our parents were, every one of us got any music lessons, instrument lessons that we wanted. And I think there was we even bought an organ. Back then they weren't called keyboards. And we would have a guy show up and try to teach us how to play. You know, this was before Elton John, and you know, where the piano became such an important part. And you know, and we weren't playing keyboards, we were playing an organ, you know, but we played guitars and saxophones, and none of us just didn't have any musical talent at all. So I'm what I told Chris Dodge, you know, when I first started working with him, I'm the most frustrated musician that wanted to be. Because I can sit there and, you know, I used to have a girlfriend that played the piano, and that was the date. Just me sitting there listening her play one song after another. And then I was fortunate to have a coworker, Catherine, at the Pima County with my tourism job, and she could play music by ear as well, piano, trombone, you know, flute. Now she's playing the bass at her church, and it just frustrated me more that I couldn't even do.
Hey, Tom, we got a call from Bunker about some Western music.
Yeah, good morning. I met this gentleman, Jonathan, at where he was playing at the Tucson Wagon and History Museum. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, I'm so happy you guys are talking about the festivals, but, you know, we lost what I think was one of the most unique, which was the Western Music Association, Western Music Association used to put on a three-day convention with Western music from dawn to dusk and then jam sessions all night. Unfortunately, after about 6 or 8 years, we lost it to Albuquerque, but we filled it back in with a bunch of local people that had been putting on the festival anyway, with the Tucson Western Music Symposium. And we did that for several years, but unfortunately, we couldn't get a lot of support in Tucson. It seems like the Tucson people, they liked the jazz, they liked the old time, but they didn't. Wouldn't come out for the Western. We moved it down to Sonoyta. It became the Arizona Cowboy Symposium and reboomed until John Fay, our president, passed away, and we just kind of faded into the sunset. But I would sure love to see Western music make a comeback here.
Well, let me ask Jonathan that question, because obviously folk music, our culture here is full of Western music, and we had really two or three large Western music festivals. One was up in Scottsdale. Remember that? That was there for a long time. And then we had Old Tucson still does the Western festivals, but not like they used to. But they are bringing back, as you know, the Sons of Pioneers.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the back when the Tucson group was together, we were the ones putting it on out there for Old Tucson. And the other thing, the thing is that we got Americana, which is folk and everything, but it's very distinctive difference between country, folk, and Western music. It's a really strong distinction. And the Western music people, they're like a lot of the old-time folk people. They're very much purists.
Well, if you look at your poster, Jonathan, you don't seem to discriminate against any kind of folk music. Is Western music, the Sons of the Pioneers, fit in this genre, this type of festival?
The Sons of the Pioneers were one of our mainstays. In fact, if you remember, there was a group, they had the Sons of the Pioneer reunion out at the University of U of A, and that thing was packed, and they had every living person who had performed with the Sons there, and they filled the stage with these guys. But, it's hard because a lot of people, unless they really have experienced Western music, for them to understand that there is a distinct difference.
Well, I appreciate you, and I think you make – Jonathan, you have any comments on from Buck?
Yeah, Buck, thanks for calling in. I agree. I agree that I wish that there was more of a platform for Western music in Tucson today. And love the Sons of the Pioneers as well. I mean, the founders of that genre, correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, we do, at our festival, it's become a very, very broad, our folk fest has, we were very lucky for it to have grown over the decades and become kind of a mainstay for 40 years. So our perception of folk music, just for as it's branded through the festival, is a little broader than perhaps the exact terms or the purest terms. It's we do have a couple of blues acts that are playing, as well as a few of the more Western bands that are playing. We have members of Way Out West frequent the festival, members of the Tucsonics, Daryl Elmer Rogers, to name a few of the more Western tinged, at least more Western tinged acts that will be at the festival. But yeah, I definitely hear you. I love Western music. Love to see more of it around town.
Buck, we have to go, but I'm wondering, Jonathan, what do you think about Buck giving you a call and meeting with Kate and the gang and see if maybe there is a possibility to expand, Old Tucson will have Sons of the Pioneers there May 9th through 11th. I used to go visit with them, Buck, when they were doing the dinner theater at the Triple C Ranch, and they were here all winter long, So, there are a lot of people, including me, that say, I really miss the Triple C. I really miss the having a group like that here every single winter. We Old Tucson had the opportunity to buy that right from the Triple C when I was there, and unfortunately the owners passed on that. I agree with you. I think both Jonathan and I agree with you. And if you could leave your phone number with Matt. And we'll get your information over to Jonathan. And I would encourage you and Jonathan to get together with the Soca people, because I do think that if it's organized and it's run properly, that we could bring back a Western Music Series concert, whether it's at Old Tucson or Trail Dust Town or wherever it might be. But I really appreciate you calling, sir. And I really enjoyed your music the last time I saw you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, guys, for covering all this stuff.
All right, make sure Matt, you get his information, okay?
Okay, I'm picking up right now, Bunker.
All right, hey, so let's get back, Jonathan. All right, thank you, sir. Hey, Jonathan, let's get back because we're running out of time. It goes quick, doesn't it? So just what folk music, okay? I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of styles that you have coming to the concert, and I think it's so impressive that six stages. I don't even know how you get six stages in that plaza, but I can't wait to come see it since I work downtown.
Yeah, we are super, super excited. It's how I've been liking to describe it is a block party with 18,000 of your closest friends. we populate that area from the main library off Stone Hockamay Plaza. Through to the, we have a stage in the Presidio Museum area, that outdoor space.
Right.
stages off Court and Tellus Avenue. So that's how we kind of spread it out. We have several stages spread out over a few blocks. And between that is the entire festival blueprint. And to Buck's point too, I mean, we embrace Western music at the festival, country and blues, and then more of, and of course many of the Latin roots, much of the Latin roots music, including one of our headliners, Orquesta Mendoza, who I'm sure you're familiar with, one of the greatest cumbia bands.
Absolutely.
We're lucky to have here in town. Yeah. So what your perception? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice to see, Jazz Festival over at Corbett's brought that. That's a venue. They can close off the streets. I think you're probably my first festival downtown was the Tucson Meet Yourself, when they really occupied a huge part of downtown. At night the barriers go away. If you go downtown during the day, it's a collection, of everything, including things you want to see and things you don't want to see, it's obviously much, much better than it was back in the 1990s, with Fletcher McCusker and his Rio Nuevo group has done a wonderful job. There's still a little bit of work to be done, but it's really coming along really nicely with the downtown partnership, keeping the town really clean and everything. But my first experience downtown was at night, and the way they took over multiple streets with no fear of, being shut down because of music levels. And of course, that might be a little bit different now because of all of the apartments that are there. But you know what? It's only 2 days. Get over it, here's some free. Now, is this a free festival?
It is a free festival.
We got to get that in.
100% free. Always has been. Always will be.
A lot of music. Hey, one of the things. One of the things the Jazz Festival did, and I don't know if you did this or not, but on their website, they put together a music URL of all of the musicians. So if you wanted to hear every single band, you just went to the Tucson Jazz Festival and clicked on that link, and you got to hear every a song from everybody that was at the concert or at the festival. And boy, Matt, you thought that was the next thing based the sliced bread if you wanted to know what was going on at the festival.
Yeah, that is so cool and brilliant. And the closest thing that we have is we're lucky to be working with videographers and photographers at the festival. So we'll be able to produce a video kind of after the fact, where we'll be able to share all of the, I'm assuming we're doing it again this year, all of the mainstay, like plaza stage performances.
That's right.
Where the headliners perform. We'll share that on YouTube and Facebook. So if you want to, see one of those plaza stage performances and you're not able to make it out to the festival, or you're at the festival and you're not there in that moment, you can revisit it online a couple weeks after the fact.
No, since you want to keep growing your 41st, that's a great way, especially to feature all these local musicians. I asked Chris Dodge, about 6 months ago. I said, living in San Antonio and Austin, we had our share of wonderful musicians. A lot, I think at one time Fiesta Texas employed every mariachi performer band at the park because they enjoyed, performing to people from all over the world. But the question I asked them, I said, so tell me, how really good is our musicians here in town? And I'll paraphrase it, but it's probably two words, just world class. Just wonderful people, right. Friendly, Southern, hospitality, customer service, everything. And they're just good to jam with. And, so that was a great statement that Chris Dodge brought up. Well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes. And, this is, the Morning Voice, and we're here with Jonathan Fram from the Tucson Folks Festival. Well over 150 musicians with six stages of live music. We got a few more minutes to learn more, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, and we're talking about a lot of the festivals that are in town, in particular the one coming up in April, the 40th anniversary of the Folk Festival. One thing we forgot to talk, Timmy, about is the big air show this weekend, the Thunder and Lightning over Arizona air show at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I can't believe we forgot about that one, Timmy.
I know. That is one of my favorite events, and I won't be able to attend this year.
Well, but, I wish I was in town, or I would have made a huge effort to get you there. I'm sure Mark Irvin would have helped us out to get some excellent seats and get you special, a base pass, because we'll have to think about that 2 years from now. It's an event that I wanted to be involved in, and we used to have David. Remember, David used to go over there and have a booth for us every year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I used to get to hang out with him. I had a stiff neck at the end of the event, but we are going to be wrapping this up today. Lots of festivals, boy, I tell you, but they're all members. Saka has been a member, for 20 plus years, when it was called the Oro Valley Arts and group, and I forgot completely the name there, but then it became the Southern Arizona. And now I understand, Jonathan, that they are moving into being a statewide arts organization. So I know as a board member, I was helping Kate work on that. And we'll never forget about one of the conditions I recall about with the board was we're never going to lose the branding of Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. And that's good to know.
Yeah, it's been a mainstay for, gosh, I don't know how many years now since it's evolved from the Greater Oro Valley Arts Council. But yeah, we do continue to grow, and we're excited about these new opportunities that we're engaging with in the Phoenix area. But yeah, Tucson, Southern Arizona, you know, it's been our base for a long time, and you know, we'll continue to be.
Well, we've been talking about it too at SAAA, because people, when they visit Tucson first, have a tendency to go north because the Grand Canyon and Flagstaff and all the great stuff up there. But they don't have the same tendency to travel south. They go on to L.A. or wherever they're going on to after that, you know, the folks that are here for 2 to 3 weeks from Europe in particular.
Right.
So there's a great strategy there to get the north to promote the south and the south to promote the north. We want to keep them here in Arizona. We don't want them to go to New Mexico or California or whatever. And I think it's a great model, and with the revenue coming in, you'll be able to put the resources to it. Okay, we just have it short. How do we find out more information about the Folk Festival?
TucsonFolkFest.org, and we hope you can join us the first weekend of April. We're starting festival grounds with our songwriting competition starting at 6 p.m. on Friday, April 4th, and then the 5th and 6th are the festival itself, music all day.
Now, what time does it start, kick in again on Friday?
6 p.m. It's a 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. show. Yep.
I remember wandering over there after work. And next thing I know, it's late. I'm getting home. Probably had a beer or two, but nearby. Now, is it Tucson Music or the Tucson Meet Yourself is alcohol free? Is this an alcohol free event, or there is alcohol there?
We will have a beer garden. We partnered with Finley for this event. So yeah, there will be Dos Equis, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, the Arizona Bowl brought a beer back to the U of A, or maybe brought it to the U of A. We started with the tailgate, where there's always been adult beverages. And, you know, there's never, no huge problems. And I think you can have a family festival with a beer garden without any problems. And I'm glad you're doing that. It's a great event. Go to it. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us today on the Morning Voice. We'll be back next week with Live Once. Event.